If you would tonight, we want to start reading in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. This is probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture for the believer in the Bible. But Paul, writing to this church that later would be admonished by the Lord Jesus for leaving their first love, when he gets down to the end of his letter, he uses the word finally. I believe that the last words of somebody that you love and somebody that loves you, they tend to stick in their hearts. And I believe the Apostle Paul wanted this to stick in the hearts of the people at Ephesus. And I believe tonight God wants it to stick in our hearts. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For we wrestle," verse 11, "put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." How many believes the devil's trying his best to tear our churches up, tear our homes up, tear our country up, tear up testimonies? The Bible said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." I wonder how many people in America today understand that the battle really is between good and evil. It's really going on, just like it was in Job chapter 1, between a holy God and an evil Satan, an evil devil. But Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then he said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you may also, or that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." I want to ask before I pray tonight, is there anybody here that loves him in sincerity? Amen. Talk is cheap, isn't it? I believe that It says something because folk want to gather around the Word of God on a Wednesday night. And I know there are others, if it were not for extenuating circumstances, would be here tonight. I think of Jim and Marge, how faithful they've been. And maybe before long they can be back with us, amen, and many others. Let's pray tonight. I want to just look at that, I guess, where he said stand, and he uses the word over and over and over again. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us to be a help. Lord Jesus, I know that we are living in an evil day. Lord, I don't know when there's ever been a more evil time. I'm reminded, our Father, that you said, as it were, in the days of Noah, so shall it be, the coming of the Son of Man. Lord, every imagination of a man's heart was wicked. God, I pray that you would help us now tonight, Lord, just to be encouraged in the Word of God. Encourage our folk that can't be here tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that could be here and chose not to be, Lord, that you would stir in their hearts. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, writing here to the church at Ephesus, giving them his last admonition. A lot has went on in the book of Ephesians, but he uses the word finally. As he comes down to wrap it up, he's looking for someone that will take a stand. He's looking for individuals, looking for the church as a whole to take a stand. I found it amazing. I was on the phone with Charity, my daughter, and they joined the church down there on in North Carolina on Sunday. And the pastor told Bob, he said, you know, lots of times people visit and they're real regular and they're real faithful. He said, they join the church and then you can't find them. He said, now, Bob, you going to be like that? Bob said, no. He said, then we'll take you. The pastor said, we'll take you. He told the church, he said, we might have a problem getting the letter, though. He said, from Bible Way. He said, because the church secretary is Charity's mommy. Amen. But he brought out something in his preaching Sunday that I thought was interesting. I didn't take the time to look it up, but I mentioned something about spending all that time on Facebook Sunday morning. Well, guess what that pastor had the nerve to do? He had statistics to go with it. You know what it was, Brother Steve? 3 hours and 37 minutes a day. He said, with 3 hours and 37 minutes a day, we could read the Bible through three times in a year. Think about that tonight. I know that when, and by the way, I had no plan Sunday to even go there. But I do believe God wants us to stand. Not just against the evil and the wickedness that's going on out there, but that's going on right here as well. As we made comment on Sunday, the judgment must first begin at the house of God. I wonder, brother and sister, tonight, how many people are sitting in the house of God that are carrying some kind of bitterness or unforgiveness or some kind of jealousy, some kind of envy. And when the Bible said stand, I believe we are supposed to stand against those wicked things that the whole world knows is wicked. But I do believe we're to preach the whole counsel of God. You remember it was Paul writing to the church at Ephesus in verse number 30 of chapter 4, and he said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." How many of you have ever known in your life that you've grieved him? You didn't need anybody to tell you. The fact of the matter is, listen to see if you agree with me. When we first got saved, we was more sensitive. How many believes that's the truth? I believe the old enemy is desensitizing us. In other words, the whole world lieth in wickedness, the Word of God said. And if we're not careful, we won't be able to see the wickedness in the world, and we won't be able to see it in our own heart. And if we don't see it, then we're certainly not going to stand. The Bible said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption." Now, let me ask you a question. Why would Paul write this to the church if it was not possible for the church to have these problems? He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." In other words, I don't believe Paul is down at the bar room preaching to people on a bar stool, but he knows that you and I still have flesh. He knows that you and I still need to stand, and it's not just against what's going on out there, but it's about what's going on in here. Brother Mitchell said something about salvation that I never shall forget as long as I have a memory at all. And that is, an individual must take sides with God against himself. Can I tell you this? As a Christian, that's true too. When we come up upon something in our life that's not right, we're going to have to stand with God against that fella in the mirror and say, "Lord, that's not right. You said it's not right. I know it's not right. And I'm going to have to get some help." And he said, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So God is looking for someone to stand. He's looking for a church to stand. And I praise God. We celebrated, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago now. I believe it was 18, wasn't it? Was the church formed in 68? I believe that's right. And does anybody know for sure? I believe it was 68. And we celebrated 50 years in 18. I could be wrong, but you know, Brother Houston, is it right? 17? Okay, I'm only off a year. Amen. But the church has done a good job, say amen, of standing with the missionaries and standing for missions and standing against sin, standing for the gospel, for the Word of God. Aren't you glad we go to a church where we ain't changed Bibles? Aren't you glad we go to a church where we haven't changed songbooks? Help me. Aren't you glad we go to a church where we haven't dropped our standards? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, Paul's right on target here. He says it's an evil day. In verse 13, "Take unto the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." I believe that's a form of defense. And then having done all to stand. I believe with the administration that's coming in, I believe we're already seeing indicators, beloved, that they're not going to be a friend to the church of the living God. They're not going to be a friend to the First Amendment. Somebody say amen. Have you been paying attention? They're not going to be a friend to the Second Amendment. Amen. But you and I need to be like Abraham and not be concerned about whether they're a friend to us, but be concerned about us being a friend to him. The Word of God said Abraham was a friend of God. And I'll tell you something else. Abraham wasn't looking for the next leader. He was looking for a city. And I believe that's what you and I need to be looking for as we stand in these days, whose builder and maker is God. In Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there. I'll just give you a couple of verses. I just have a couple of simple thoughts on my heart tonight. I'm not going to preach on the whole armor of God. But the word stand and standing in the evil day has jumped out in my heart and in my life. In Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse number 5, he said, "You have not gone into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." I really believe we're in a battle in these days. I believe we're in a battle for what God defines as a family. We're in a battle for what God defines as marriage. We're in a battle for the lives of the babies. Amen. We're in a battle, and it's a warfare, and it's not going to be fought with bullets. It's going to be fought on our hands and our knees. We're wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, darkness in this world. And the Word of God said, "You have not gone," in Ezekiel. And then Ezekiel 22, you know this verse. He said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land." I've said this before. You can go through that Old Testament and you can find men that were holy, living for God, wholly given to God in their ministry. But they were willing to intercede for the land and intercede for the people and say, "God, would you forgive us?" And honestly tonight, I believe that we as God's people need to stand in the gap for the land. The Word of God said, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But here's the sad part. God said, "But I found none." He didn't find a few. He didn't find one. He didn't find many. The Word of God said, he found none. In Acts chapter 5, in the early church, the angel of the Lord told Peter and them, "Go, stand, and speak in the temple and to all the people." I want you to notice this word here, all the words of this life. It amazes me, beloved, listen, in the pulpit and politics, how many people go through this book and just pick and choose what they're going to preach and what they're going to believe and what they're going to say. I believe the Bible doesn't contain the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of the living God. And I believe that every word of God is what we're supposed to live by. The Bible tells us to stand. Stand and speak all the words of this life. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That comes back to our text. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." What did the Bible say? I don't recall the address for the verse, but "not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." That's what it means to be strong in the Lord. In Galatians 5 and 1, he said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." I will say this about our land. Beloved, Christ has made us free from sin. In America, we've enjoyed great liberty down through the years. And I believe many of those liberties are in jeopardy. But we're going to have to to stand with Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 said, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." I like this. "And hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." I had somebody say this to me one time. And just because of the stand that I was taking with the Word of God, somebody said this to me when I was pastoring down in the valley. They said, "I believe you're more concerned about pleasing these preachers." You know what I told them, Brother Grizzle? I said, "These preachers are the least of my worries." I said, "The preachers I don't want to disappoint, they've already buried them. They blazed this trail. They stood with the stuff. They stood for what was right." Amen? And I believe with all of my heart, there's nothing wrong with holding to those traditions. If my pastor that I was saved under in 1987 would come on a given Sunday morning or Sunday night or a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm standing in this pulpit, Brother Steve, I don't say this boastfully, but I don't believe he'd be ashamed of the young man that got saved and God called him to preach the Word of God. In other words, he wouldn't be wanting to crawl under the pew. So many have given up their stand. Paul said it's an evil day. We need to stand. I believe that the coming of the Lord is upon us. The world is going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of great tribulation. If I understand the Bible correctly, 3.5 years, it ain't going to be too bad. Going to look like peace, going to look like prosperity. The Antichrist is going to do a good job of suckering everybody in. Then he's going to set himself upon the throne of David, declare himself to be God. And Israel is going to understand that they've been hoodwinked. And God is going to show them the truth. And all hell is going to break out on this earth. And the Word of God said the great day of His wrath in Revelation 6:17 is come. And who shall be able to stand? What I wanted to point out tonight, listen, it's time right now for God's people to stand. We'll be gone in that day. Peradventure, there's someone tonight or someone later that would hear this message. There's another sobering thought in the Word of God. In Revelation 20 and verse 12 said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." That's the great white throne judgment. That is not the judgment of the believer. That is the judgment of the unbeliever. But every unbeliever is going to stand one day before God. But I'll give you this. Every believer is going to one day stand before God. And we're going to give an account in that day of how we've stood in this day when we stand before the Lord. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I want to give you three things tonight quickly, and we'll be done. I kept you over an hour Sunday. I could not believe that. But I appreciate you staying with me. Three things tonight if we're going to stand. First of all, maturity. I was just thinking about a little baby. For a long time, Sister Miriam, you can lay the little baby in the crib and you don't have to worry about it. But there comes a day when a little baby pulls up And then there comes the day when the little baby crawls out. Most of the time, the first time or two, they fall out. I can remember being in a prophet's chamber one time when one of our young'uns rolled off the top bunk. You're talking about a mess in the middle of the night. It was awful. But as that baby matures, that baby gets to a place where it can stand. What God wanted me to point out tonight is this. We'll read a scripture in a minute in the book of Hebrews. You don't expect a new convert to stand just exactly like somebody that's been saved 30 years. Help me. You got to give them some time. The Word of God said in Hebrews, turn there with me to chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. I can remember working with some of our children and grandchildren when they were trying to learn how to walk. And I figured out something. As long as you had a hold of them, they would walk. So what you had to do was get a hold of them in a way that they didn't know when you turned them loose. And I'd get a hold of them by the back of their shirt or the back of their breeches there. And they'd go, 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 and you turn them loose and they keep going. They don't know they've been turned loose. The Bible said here in verse number 11 of Hebrews 5, of many things, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I said a while ago that we're wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places, not wrestling against flesh and blood. And I believe with all of my heart, part of what's going on is to desensitize us to sin. So many things are being accepted in the quote-unquote church that years ago you wouldn't even dream of being accepted in the church. We need our senses exercised. We need maturity. I was talking in a text message with a lady a while back. Paul says here, everyone that uses milk, you have need of milk. It would be a shame for pastor to still be on milk, having been saved in 1987 and sat under some of the best preaching you've ever heard in your life. Be ashamed to still be sucking on a bottle. A while back I was texting a lady and she was telling me about overcoming her illness, but she made this statement. She said, I'm still on oxygen. And she said, I've never smoked a day in my life. And I texted her back. I said, pray for Miss Eve. I said, she's been smoking for 2 months now. The next thing I said, it was like you just changed the subject. I said, I killed a big old bear. I killed a couple of big deer. The kids bought her a smoker for Christmas last year. And she's been smoking deer meat and bear meat. I got y'all too, didn't I? Amen. And She sent me a text back, said, Lord, have mercy. I had her going. Amen. What I'm trying to say is this. I like that meat. That smoked meat. I like it. I tell you, Brother Steve, this is good too. Just to get in this old book, let God speak to your heart. Give you something that'll encourage you. Give you something that'll make you want to just square your shoulders back and take a stand in this evil day that we live in. I believe also the second thing, if we're going to stand, I'm thinking still about the little one that stands up. Not only do we need maturity, but even when we're an adult, after we've been standing for a while, we need balance. How many of you have ever lost your balance and fell? I remember I was going through the woods one morning, and there was barbed wire. It was over on y'all's place. It was in that back valley. There was barbed wire under the leaves. So help me, I fell like a tree. I fell like a tree, like somebody sawed me off at the ankles, and bam, right down on my face before I knew what was going on. Several have texted me in recent days and told me about dizziness and different things that was going on, and I've tried to encourage them to stay out of that brown jug with the clear liquid in it. We need balance. You say, preacher, what do you mean we need balance? Here's what I'm going to say. If you've never experienced it, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But some people get on a horse and they ride the same horse day in and day out and day in and day out. In other words, it appears maybe that they're standing, but they don't have much balance. The Word of God said, speaking the truth, does anybody know what the next two words are? In love. Speaking the truth in love. I believe there needs to be a balance. If you get a battery, if you look at it, whether it's the side post or the top post, there's going to be a negative post and there's going to be a positive post, and you have to have them both in order to have power. And I believe God in this evil day, I believe one of the things the devil would love for God's people to do is just get out of balance. Just get on one issue or another issue and just ride it to death. And the first thing you know, you're not speaking the truth in love. You're actually hateful. It's okay to hate sin. It's not okay to hate others. Jesus said, love your enemy. Is that right or is that wrong? So we need balance. And I read this. I thought it fit pretty good right here. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. What did he find? Asked the cohort. A piece of the truth, the devil replied. He said, doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth? No, said the devil. I'll see to it that he makes a religion out of it. There's a lot of people that find a piece of the truth, and there's no balance in their life. I believe God wants us to stand, and having done all to stand, I believe in church discipline because I believe the Bible. I hope I can make it to heaven and never have to do it again. But if church discipline has to be performed, it ought to be performed with a broken heart. Why would anybody be thrilled that somebody would have to be put out of the church? By the way, that's always a person that's called a brother. Church discipline has nothing to do with the lost. It has to do with God's people. And I believe that many have lost their balance in this generation. Y'all pray for Pastor that he'll be a balanced preacher. Amen? Listen, I believe it can go either way, Brother Steve. Everything is not mountaintop. You don't come in every Sunday and it's a mountaintop sermon. Amen? There are mountaintops, but there are valleys. What did the Bible say? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Listen carefully. Paul told Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's a good illustration. I didn't plan on saying that, but there's a balance. It's not all negative, but it's not all positive. You can find that in the example of Jesus over when he's dealing with the churches in the book of the Revelation. When Jesus had to straighten a church out, he would first commend them for what they were doing right. There was a balance. There was a balance. So I will say one more thing tonight and I'm done. Taking a stand in the evil day. We need maturity. We need balance. But we need help. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. Maybe you've heard the song, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The fact of the matter is, we can't even breathe without him. Down where we throw our trash away, I don't know how many, Brother Steve, sets of crutches are leaned up against the fence. I'm guessing because they're aluminum and that metal would be, you know, worth more to, I don't think they're putting them out there in case somebody needs a crutch. But can I tell you this? This world will look at you and I and say, y'all just need a crutch. How many say amen? The songwriter said it like this, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever seen. Learning to lean on Jesus. I guess what the Lord is saying that sometimes when we're injured, I thought about when the Lord was dealing with my heart, how excited Brother Brian was to get on what they call the forearm crutches and to learn and to be able to go. But you and I better get it settled in our heart that we're not going to stand in this evil day without some help. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. All I'm trying to say tonight, listen, if we would realize he made it all, if we would realize if we're a little wobbly, he can certainly shore us up and help us to stand in the evil day. The book of Ephesians is a wonderful book. The Apostle Paul was a wonderful man. When he comes down to the end of the book, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I believe with all of my heart, it's not time to roll over. It's time to stand. Stand. And having done all, to stand. I wonder tonight how many of you all have made up your mind by the grace of God, till he comes and gets me, I want to stand for what's right. Jesus told us that sometimes that'll cost you. Even in the family, it'll cost you. Because everybody is not standing in these days. Amen. But I'm not going to give an account for everybody. I'm going to give an account for myself when I stand before the Lord. How many's glad you come tonight?